All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling. I am Metagur. I'm your host, and we are back in London. I believe this is the same arena that they did Friday Night SmackDown. Same arena, same town, same everything, just different day. The European tour continues, but I believe this is the final Monday Night Raw of the European tour. So now we're going to go back to regular, normal people hours where we get to watch Monday Night Raw. But we're going to go over the important things of Monday Night Raw that took place today. This is March 31st. We're officially 19 days away from WrestleMania. We are one day away from WrestleMania month. And we're on the road to WrestleMania, y'all. So we're going to go over Monday Night Raw. And we're going to talk about just three things tonight. Obviously, we got to talk about the John Cena and the Cody Rhodes promo. We're also going to talk about Jimmy Uso versus Gunther. And the main event, Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky with Bianca Belair as a special guest referee. So with that being said, you guys, let's get into some wrestling talk. What's going on, fellas? With me, like always, my crew, BT Knight, Toxic, Tommy, and Mr. Blood. How y'all doing? Happy Monday.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So I'm kind of torn here, guys. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm kind of Switzerland now when it comes to John Cena and Cody Rhodes, because they opened up the show again. John Cena cut another great promo, but Cody Rhodes also cut a great promo. And I'm not exactly sure who cooked who here. They were both cooking. John Cena, he tore Cody Rhodes a new one, but Cody Rhodes held his own. He fired back at John Cena. And these guys were having a promo battle here tonight, you guys. John Cena pretty much explained the reason why he dislikes Cody Rhodes. John Cena hates everything that Cody Rhodes has become. He's become too polished. He's become too clean. He's become too perfect, too scripted, too everything, too polished. And that's why John Cena claims that he is treating Cody Rhodes the way that he has. But Cody Rhodes did not just sit around and let John Cena do all the talking. Cody Rhodes fired back and told Cena, well, wait a minute. Wasn't that you? Wasn't that what you were all about when you first started? You were Vince's guy, the guy that he who shall not be named. You know, you were prepared. You were cleaned up. You were polished. You were this, that, and the other. There was even some AEW reference. Overall, it was a really good promo by both of these guys, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts. Who do you guys think cooked who? Who had the better promo? And whose side are you guys on now? Because now, honestly, I don't know. Blood, like always, you do the honors. You get us started with this, and then we'll go down the line.
This was by far the best promo battle or interaction these guys have had since Elimination Chamber. In my personal opinion, I think this is the best promo Cody has cut since he has been back in WWE. I think this might be the best promo he's ever cut WWE-wise, period. Because the thing about going up against someone like John Cena in a promo, you have two options. You match him or you fail. And Cody stepped up. For a lot of people who will sit there and say Cody can't cut promos, a lot of naysayers against Cody on his promo ability. I've always thought Cody's a good promo to a great promo, depending on the severity of the rivalry, depending on the severity of how fired up he is. But this was, John Cena was like, yo, this is okay, Corral. Meet me at high noon outside the saloon. It's a 10-pace quick draw. And these guys had more than one bullet apiece, man. These guys were firing off left and right until the chambers were empty, and then they both still pulled out two extra bullets on each other. Man, when you want to talk about getting me to want to buy a ticket to Mania. They're sold out. But you talk about wanting me to get me to buy tickets. Paul Heyman has always said that your job, the art of a promo, is to sell me on the attraction, sell me on the main event, the match, the whatever. You have to go out there and sell me that goddamn feud. And these two, you already know how I feel, Snug. Everybody knows how I feel. I was a little back and forth on this since Elimination Chamber because I felt like we had to wait 2 whole weeks to hear from John. Then the crowd kind of took over the majority of that entire segment, and it was kind of annoying when we really just wanted to hear what John had to say. Cody came out the first time, you know, barely said a goddamn thing when they first interacted. You know, this is their third encounter, I believe, now. And as far as it's concerned, this should have been the first one. You want to talk about starting off their feud hot. I understand they wanted to give John a reason as to why he did what he did. But since he explained it so much better, his reasoning in this promo battle tonight, this could have easily replaced that entire first promo he cut his second week after Elimination Chamber, because he basically re-explained why he did what he did. But instead of making it just about the fans, he made it personal about Cody. Dude, you were my chauffeur. All you did, the only reason you're great is because you stole everything from me, every trick, every tip, every conversation we ever had, and you took it all, and you packaged yourself as John Cena 3.0, okay? Because it was John Cena, Roman, now it's Cody. And as far as it is concerned, John Cena is so good at this, right? Because he's out there basically pulling a Punk. He's like, tell me when I'm telling lies, bro. Because nothing Cena said is really false, except for the points where his perspective on Cody is kind of, it's biased, and that's a one-sided perspective. But everything else is very, very true. Cena was driven around by Cody. He did, you know, give Cody tips and pointers and tricks. Cody did leave and take his ball and go somewhere else. John Cena did stay loyal the entire time, and he was chastised by half of the audience for it. Cody is also incredibly right in this promo. John Cena did become the thing he said he hated. He is the Hollywood guy. He didn't leave the WWE better than he found it, which I thought was the best line of this promo. In my entire opinion, Cody fucking just, I mean, he, nail on the head moment, man. Like, to sit there and tell him, look, you, because Cody basically hinted that the way that WWE was when John basically went part-time into acting full-time, and it was still ran by Vince, the company was in a horrible place. I mean, dude, 2019 WWE is a brutal rewatch. It is hard to get through TV. All right, it is go away heat that whole year. And that's right around the time John started going part time. And when it comes down to it, that's exactly when fucking AEW launched. So it's like, dude, he literally had to go create a whole other company, fucking help breed competition that forced WWE to step up its game. And but then Cody's like, but you weren't here for that. You know? I did that. And you already weren't here. And John Cena's line about being, I have made a career out of making empires for billionaires. You just steal money from billionaires' kids. I thought, what a comeback. I mean, look, if you want your comeback, you can scrape it off your mom's teeth. This was some excellent fucking promo work. This was shop class, bro. The Cody and John have officially sold me on this shit, and we still have probably at least two more interactions between now and Mania. But this is the first physical any interaction they've ever had where Cody's like, you know what? They have said a lot about me, but you know the one thing they've never chanted when I'm in an arena? That I can't wrestle. And John took that to heart, got back in that ring, tried to pull the sneak attack straight into a crossroads, and finally, like over a month since Elimination Chamber, and someone finally fired the first physical shot. and it was Cody standing tall. This 10 out of 10 segment, because this time, finally, the crowd understood the assignment of, we're going to ramp up, we need to ramp up, and shut the fuck up, and we need to shut the fuck up. And I love the European crowd. They have, this promo battle was so much better because it was in Europe, where a very, you know, very non-saturated audience got to take this in. So they were so hyped for this. But if you put this in the States, it would have been energetic, but it would not have been nearly as booming, echoing, loud, interactive with the fan. Like, this had to be in a market for people who literally were like, dude, I have been waiting to see a WWE show in my town for fucking years. I'm going to make the most of it. Perfect crowd tonight. Didn't overstay their welcome in the segment. Hyped it up to a whole nother level because the segment was already an 8 out of 10. The crowd brought it to a perfect 10. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think either man won. I think this was a draw in the best way. They both cleared each other. It was perfection. Cinema.
So I wasn't able to watch this because I was still in school whenever Raw started. But by what I heard from Snug and Blood, it sounded amazing. It sounded like the best interaction that they've had so far. And I agree with Blood. They should have just swapped their first encounter since Elimination Chamber and this encounter. They should have just swapped them. But by what y'all say about it, it sounded great.
So, I absolutely loved this segment. It was absolutely perfect. These two, like this segment here, reminded me of back when Cena had his little rap battle with the New Day. And he's over here reminding it wasn't the New Day, it was the Usos with the mugshots. Like, that's what this reminded me of, because of the fact that these two were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, harder each time. Yes, I know, pause, resume. But these two were going head to head, and they were not holding back. And that's what I loved about this segment, was the fact that they didn't hold back. This is the type of segment that we should have had the entire time. Unfortunately, when it comes to the Crossroads, I was not able to see it at first because of the fact that the Purple Lap decided it would be a great idea to put 4 commercials in front of it. So I was not able to fully see it. But when I went back and saw it, I'm like, oh, crap. Now I don't know who's actually going to come out on top of this. Mm-hmm. Because these two have gotten over each other quite a few times at this point. Well, not quite a few. There's been like 3 or 4. But still, these two, like, this is going to be one hell of a match.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I didn't actually see this promo.
I didn't
get to watch it because my dumbass decided to sleep in, but I was able to see some of the clips from it, but the only clip I saw was John Cena calling Cody a Nepo baby, and then Cody hitting the Crossroads. So, but if I'm gonna be honest, I really don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. It's just not my personal cup of tea anymore, so.
Why not?
If I can say something, Snug, real quick, to the guys who haven't seen it, and I think you'll agree with me on this, Snug. Guys, the entire full segment is uploaded on YouTube. Watch it later. Just type in WWE on YouTube, the full segment's there. You need to witness this because, BT, for you personally, if it's not your cup of tea before, I promise you after you watch that whole promo segment, it will be your cup of tea because it's going to sell the shit out of you. This is something that if you're going into Mania and you're going to watch every match because you know we're going to talk about every match, you need to see this in its fullness to understand the real scope of just how much they just stepped up the stakes of this match. This, like Tommy said, and I fully agree with Tommy, this was a promo that is going to make you go, oh, fuck, now I really don't know who's going to win at Mania. And that is the best thing about this promo. It didn't just sell me on wanting to see the match. It's going to sell you on the fact that, oh, shit, I thought Cody was going, oh, shit, I thought John was going to win. Now it's going to be like, oh, shit, I don't know who's going to win. And that is what you want out of a promo. Seeds of doubt, seeds of uncertainty, seeds of surprise, anticipation. This is a masterclass of a segment. And if you're a fan of professional wrestling, I highly encourage, after we're done here tonight, go watch that promo in its fullness on YouTube. You must see it. The clips don't even do a fucking 2% worth of justice to this. You will love it.
So full disclosure, and I think I kind of understand why BT is feeling like this isn't his cup of tea, because the first time, because I watched this segment twice, the first time I thought, you know what, I just want to see them go at it. And we got some physicality finally from these two tonight, from Cody and Cena. Cena went to attack Cody. Cody dodged it, hit him with the crossroads. And I popped big for that because I'm like, okay, here we go. Now Cody Rhodes got his comeuppance on Cena. Cena got what he deserved after what he did at the Elimination Chamber. So that was exciting. But then I went back and I watched it again, and I really, really, really paid attention. I broke everything down that these two were saying, and it was good shit. It was good shit. But at first, I was just like, man, these guys are just going to keep hitting each other with one-liners and zingers, and, you know, they're going to say things that is going to make the smart wrestling fan go, ooh, you know, and I'm just like, I'm done hearing them talk. I just want to see them go at it now, you know. But going back and watching it the second time, the promo was really fucking good. And it's just one of those things that you just really have to listen and pay attention to really understand what these two guys are trying to do. Now, my only concern or theory, I should say, no pun intended, this is a different John Cena. This is a heel John Cena, right? That's going into WrestleMania to face Cody Rhodes. But I can't help but forget, Solo Sikoa beat John Cena. Austin Theory beat John Cena. So it's kind of hard for me to believe that Cody Rhodes is not going to beat John Cena. Do you guys think that that's like a big factor going into this match? John Cena's record, which, by the way, no, hasn't been very good. Let's be honest.
I think the very fact that he has spent so much time in his last 2 years back on this on and off run, he has highlighted so many times that record, that loss record, over and over again. He's highlighted it. However, I think that's going to feed into this, where, because he even said right before the chamber, he said at the Rumble, he's like, I've been on a losing streak, you know, I haven't won a match in so and so days. He said it again at a press conference just earlier this year, and I think it was late January or February going into the Rumble. Yeah, I think it was going into the Rumble. And he, or after the Rumble, when he said, I'm going to go to the Elimination Chamber, I'm putting in. And he wouldn't have mentioned that, because you got to assume by the end of the night at that press conference at the Rumble, he knew he was turning heel at the Chamber. And the thing is that if you're going to continuously hammer home that loss record, one has to imagine that means he's going to fight even harder on Cody. And when he lost to Solo, when he lost to Austin Theory, it was to put two young talents over. He's not here to put a young talent over. He's here to win 17. That's the goal. And if there's one thing we know about Cena, if he really cares while he's in that match, we're going to get Super Cena. But we're going to get heel Super Cena, which is a version of Cena we've never seen before. We've had heel Cena in the past, but back then, he could win and lose. It was before Super Cena came along. So imagine a heel Super Cena, the Cena that we got versus AJ Styles, the Cena that we got versus Roman Reigns, the Cena that they could put away with two, three finishers, stealing finishers, back and forth, hell or high water. I mean, let's be honest. One of the greatest matches I've seen his entire career is versus fucking AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble. Let's not forget that one of the greatest matches I've seen his career is versus CM Punk at Money in the Bank. Or on that Monday Night Raw later on right after that, the following year. Let's not forget that this Cena took Roman Reigns to his fucking limit before Roman became the Tribal Chief, but Roman was the always winner, never lose fucking big dog character. We are getting the Cena that they are not booking to fucking put over some young, hungry talent that needs the rub. Cody don't need the rub. He's the champion. This is not going to be the Cena of the last few years. This is going to be the Cena that came to fucking take names and kick ass. And we're also going to get the Cena for the first time in years that is going to use heel tactics in this match. Cheating, going behind the ref's back, eye poking, gouging, maybe some low blows in the ref. Think about this. Cena's not playing fair at Mania. There's no way. That's why this could go either way. He's not going to give Cody the chance to say that, oh, you beat me clean. No, 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 no. Cena don't give a shit about winning clean anymore. He just gives a shit about winning. So I don't think that record comes into play at all. I think this is going to completely erase the last 2 years of losses. And that makes it unpredictable. Cena didn't come to fuck around this time. Cena is pissed. He's angry. He's hurt by the fans. And he is desperate. Something he has not been in the last 5 years. So, Cody might be in trouble.
You guys got any thoughts on that, fellas?
Cody has not faced this type of Cena. Or anyone even close. On the mic, not at all. No one tops Cena. I'm pretty sure we can all agree with that. That on the mic, no one tops John Cena. Cena's just that good. In the ring, it is very clear here that, as Blood said, Cena's going to do whatever it takes. And with that, I think he brings in Rock.
Well, they did mention him today.
If Cena's going to do whatever it takes to get his 17 down to siding with The Rock and all of that, selling out like he did, Rock's probably going to get involved. That way, he can guarantee Cena gets his 17. Since he's the head of the board and can practically do whatever the hell he wants.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on this, Toxic or BT?
You also got to think, not only Rock, but Travis Scott could also come in, which I don't think so because of the whole... Wasn't there like a restraining order put on him or something?
Wait, what?
That's what I heard.
What the fuck? By who?
I don't know.
No, tell me what you heard, fool.
I heard that apparently after the events at the Elimination Chamber, when Travis Scott gave Cody a busted eardrum or whatever it was, and a black eye, that he got a restraining order put on him, but I don't know if that was 100% true.
Yeah, that's probably a stretch there. That's probably a reach. Probably. Are you looking it up, Blood? Oh, okay.
But anyways, you got to think that Travis Scott could also be in the mix, not only Rock.
Yeah,
my bad.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Since The Rock, like what Tommy said, The Rock's at the head of the board, he could make this match an Extreme Rules match.
Yeah.
He could make it no DQ.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock was mentioned tonight, which is the first time that he's been mentioned since the Elimination Chamber, right? I'm pretty sure we're going to see The Rock eventually before WrestleMania. And knowing The Rock and knowing what went down last year, The Rock put all odds against Cody. So this year, The Rock is probably going to try to do something to give John Cena the advantage. Extreme Rules, like you said, Toxic, or something crazy. Some type of stipulation. I have a feeling they're going to try to create some type of stipulation. just
special guest referee.
Yeah, something like, but not too crazy. It's not going to be anything like
The Rock special guest referee.
Yeah, didn't we say that like earlier?
Oh, oh, that'd be horrible. Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're getting 17.
It's going to be something. It's going to be something crazy.
Similar when it comes to stipulations and all of that. And the first thing that popped into my head was Bloodline rules from last year. Mm-hmm. So my just now immediately went, it's going to be Cena rules.
What if Roman gets involved? Because the triple threat main events night one. What if at the end, like, remember last year, it was Avengers Infinity War, right? And then it was Avengers Endgame night two. What if at the end, because I got a couple of theories. I think Undertaker might be like the ghost of WrestleMania now. So if he sees a severe injustice, gong, and he appears. Because every Mania, he always has a one dead man show that he does the same week in his Mania, and he's always at the events. So he could appear again, because last year he came out of nowhere. He choked slam the Rock. Don't forget.
Yeah.
But, you know, but at the same time, Roman could be like, and he appears because Roman's a face, Rock's a heel. And Roman's like, no, no, I want that title back, but I want to beat Cody for it. Because Cody's who took it from me. He could interfere for his own selfish reasons. You could have CM Punk interfere. Okay. You could have Rollins interfere again. Like, this could be a whole crazy booked masterpiece like last year. There's so many ways that this could go. And that's what's so fun about it. We don't know anymore. We don't. There's so many variables. There's so many players that are involved in these stories. It's incredible where we are right now.
Do you miss the Undertaker's dong?
Sometimes.
the dong, you know.
If CM Punk gets involved, that might bring into play a running
keep back. You know what? Keep making jokes, Snug, because then your head's gonna be rolling. Yeah.
Oh man.
But if CM Punk gets involved in Mania, that could possibly lead into a running back of CM Punk.
Cena versus, yeah. And it would make perfect sense because Punk has history with Rock and Cena.
Yeah.
Cody's his friend.
Well, it looks like...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Think about it. Rock took the title from Punk all those years ago, and Cena took all of Punk's spots years ago.
Well, it looks like they're finally cooking now, fellas, so... We'll see what happens probably on Friday night SmackDown. We might see Cody on SmackDown. If not next week on Raw, I believe they're going to be in the United States next week. So that should be cool to see what happens next. Maybe we'll get a little bit
regular time.
Yeah, more clarification as to what's going on with The Rock and how is he going to go into play into all of this. But let's talk about the Jimmy and Gunther match, because we did a big episode on this recently and we tried to fantasy book this feud to make it a little bit more interesting, and it got interesting tonight, fellas. We pretty much assumed what was going to happen tonight, and Jimmy Uso got beat up pretty bad like we all expected. This was going to push Jey Uso over the edge and give us the Jey Uso that needs to show up at WrestleMania in order for him to be able to beat Gunther. He's going to have to pull from underneath him, you know. And I think what we saw tonight on Monday Night Raw is going to give us that Jey Uso, that crash out Jey Uso you guys like to talk about a lot, because man, I want to say, I don't want to like toot our own horns, but I mean, we were pretty much right about this thing. Jimmy had a fight in this match. He held his own versus Gunther for, you know, most part of the match. And then Gunther took over. Gunther had the pin. He had the match won, but he broke his own count a couple times. put Jimmy Uso to sleep, and then after the match, the beatdown continues. Now, what we did not get right was the way that this was going to go down was it was done. The way that they did it was so believable. Jey Uso got zip tied to the ring, but it wasn't one of those, oh, I'm going to let you just do it. You know, they were struggling. They made it look good. It was believable. It was dramatic. It was hard to watch. It was kind of painful to watch, not just like in a physical way. Jimmy Uso drew a lot of blood, but also like in like a storytelling, emotional way. Like, I literally felt bad for Jey. I literally felt bad for Jimmy. And Gunther crossed the line, rubbing Jimmy's juices all over. Wait, hold on, pause. Juice all over him, you know. I can't say the word because we'll get,
let's say his Kool-Aid.
His Kool-Aid all blood. Over. Yeah.
No, that dude.
Mr. No. Blood all over him, you know. This was so good. And now we're cooking, and I don't know where BT went because I want to hear what he thinks about this. I can't see him.
He's right there, but you have his visibility turned off.
Let me turn it back on. There we go.
Yeah, pause.
And there you go. There you go, BT. So, again, we're cooking now, you guys. Jimmy and Jey Uso got things going. This feud is getting better now. Same thing with Cena and Cody Rhodes. They got physical. Overall, Monday Night Raw tonight was a much better show compared to Friday Night SmackDown. I really enjoyed this segment with Jimmy and Jey. But I'm going to go with you first, BT. What were your thoughts about this? And can we finally say that this feud is finally cooking?
Yes, on both parts. I was able to see bits of this match. Jimmy put up a hell of a fucking battle. And of course, Gunther has to do his fucking let people get all the offense on him, and then we'll hit a few power bombs and then put the sleeper hold on him. So yeah, we saw that. But notice, when he chokes out Jimmy first, right? And you hear Jay's music hit. Jey was whole assing his way to that fucking ring. He wasn't just, you know, how he just slowly steps his way to the ring. He was whole assing his way to that fucking ring. So you knew it was on sight. That's number one. Number two, when Gunther runs away, you think that's it. And then he decides to come back like a coward. Now he decides to attack security and show more of a furious side when we should have seen that weeks ago. But I digress. We do have our wishes come true. Not only have we seen a more savage side to Gunther, because it's rare to see him beat up security the way that he did, we saw Jimmy bleed. And I legit said this last time that we were on here. I wanted to see Jimmy bleed. And I am so happy that I got my wishes to come true. Rarely.
You're an asshole.
Do I get my wishes? Rarely do I get my wishes to come true. But I want to digress this for just a couple of seconds. When I say I want Jimmy Uso to bleed, I'm not wishing the worst on him and wishing that his career would be buried. Okay, for all of the people that were fucking going crazy on my ass on TikTok, all I want is for Jey and Gunther's story to benefit off of Jimmy's departure. That's all I want. I still want Jimmy to win the US title. I still want Jimmy somewhere down the line to turn heel and possibly put on a better match against Jey than the match that they put on at WrestleMania 40. I want that, okay? I'm not wishing for his downfall, okay? So I want to get that across. But overall, you talk about people caring for this feud more. What a way to make people care. I mean, off of Twitter before I came on here, my mate kicking it with Ross from In the Clutch, he legit said that he cares more about this feud now because of what happened. Because he was barely giving a fuck. The main thing he was giving a fuck was Cena and Cody, and then the triple threat, Roman, Seth, and Punk. Those were the ones he really cared about. But the fact that you could make him care about this feud more after one segment the next week, that's what I find fucking amazing. So W Triple H for sure. And yeah, we're cooking in this Jey versus Gunther feud. I can't wait to see what more tricks they have. So WJ versus Gunther.
Yeah, and I just want to add before we go on to you, Tommy, is BT is being humble. We all prayed for this to happen. We all wanted to see Jimmy Uso get his ass beat. We called this. We wanted to see it. So when BT says we weren't praying on his downfall, I was. I wanted to see him get his ass, because it was the only way that this was going to make me care about this feud. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I love you, but I had to see
Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre there, Snug. I prayed for this.
Yes.
I prayed for this.
And it happened. And it happened. Yeah, let's just go on to you, because I forgot what I was going to add. Tommy.
This was one hell of a way to make people interested in this feud again. Once again, this is another moment where Triple H actually listens to the damn fans. Once again, actually listening to them. It has been all over that this feud has been dry as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, with the way he did this, in the exact same way that we said, not particularly movement wise, but still, this is what we wanted. As BT said, we weren't fully preying on his downfall. Snug, shut up. I know what you're thinking. You're over here always doing the same damn thing for the Usos in general. But still, we weren't fully preying on his downfall, but we knew something like this had to happen, because if it didn't, this feud would be down the drain before WrestleMania even happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love Jay's reaction as well, because you don't really hear much of Jay during this, but when you do, you can tell that he's pissed. Because as he is zip tied to that rope, as he's watching Gunther beat the crap out of Jimmy, he said like 5 or 6 times in a row, I'ma beat your ass. Like, he is pissed.
Yeah, and I just remember the point that I forgot to make is even before this match started, the segment with Jimmy and Jay backstage when Jimmy was getting ready for the match, that's when I started getting worried for Jimmy. That's when I was like, okay, Jimmy, he's about to go into the lion's den right now, you know?
Yeah, one of the ones that I watched during that, they legitimately said, Jay, are you afraid of Gunther now? Because as soon as Jay told Jimmy to be careful, mm-hmm. that's kind of what it seems like. It seemed like he was scared of what Gunther could do to Jimmy at that point.
Right. And it kind of goes back to what you guys were saying, that Triple H, he listens to the fans, right? So they were kind of putting that idea in our head as we were watching, like, something is about to happen. Something is going to... And then the match the match starts. Jimmy Uso starts fighting. And then you're thinking, holy shit, Jimmy might actually do this. Gunther gets the win. And then he starts the heat after the match. But then Jay comes out for the save. And I kind of felt relieved, even though I wanted to see this happen. I kind of felt relieved for Jimmy's sake. Like, okay, maybe it's not going to happen like we thought. Jay Uso came out for the save. He saved his brother. Jimmy's going to be okay. I was cool with that. I was cool with that. We went to commercial break, and I was like, okay, he's going to be all right. Jimmy's going to be okay. And then we come back from, at least that's how it happened for me. As soon as we came back from commercial break, boom, there goes Gunther on the attack, and it's all bad for Jimmy. So either way, however this thing went, I was into it, man. I was all down for it, and it was lovely. But let's go to Toxic, and then
Blood. When Jay came out, I am going to quote the very powerful YouTube gamer that is Jacksepticeye. In his head, the first thing that was going through his head, and I guarantee it by the way he was running down, was speed is key.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but all right. Go ahead, Toxic.
Okay, Snug, that's just because you're old. Anyways, my bad. Going off of what BT said, we at Snug Wrestling do not approve of anything that happened to Jimmy Uso. Let's get into my point. The week that, one of the weeks that Gunther choked Jimmy, or not Jimmy, fuck, Jay out, backstage, he said that he just woke, that Gunther woke up a damn beast inside of Jay. Tonight, that beast is gone. Jay is a whole new man after this. Like, you know, with any member of the Bloodline, when you make them watch, when you make them watch as you hurt their fam, like, their family, they're not who they were. They are completely fucking different. You could hear Jay. He said, come here. He, like, to Gunther, like, he was so fucking mad that he wanted to rip Gunther's head off of his body. He said, I'm gonna beat your ass 6 separate times. 6. You could see the rage, the fury, the anger inside of Jay's eyes as he was watching. And then whenever Gunther pushed Jimmy over to Jay, it all faded until Gunther took him back. Jay is no longer who he was. He's not crash out. He's not main event. He is a damn monster. It's on sight. Like, next week on Raw, I'm thinking it's on sight. Gunther's going to be walking backstage. Jay's going to see him. It's on fucking sight. Yeah, what Tommy's doing, right? Yeah. Gunther is no longer safe from this man. Snug, shut up.
Oh, we will see about that, Young Toxic. No, he's not. He's a different Jay. He's not main event Jay. He's mid-card Jay because he's not main event in WrestleMania. Anyway, go on, Mr.
Nah, Bill. This man is Kaiju Jay. That's what he is right now. He is Godzilla Jay.
I don't understand your references, Tommy. I'm sorry.